Leaders in tech are burning out at an absurd rate. Control-Alt-Delete with Lisa Drury is a no-BS conversation with one of the top female executives who spent over 25 years in Silicon Valley. If you're suffering from the always-on, never-good-enough, will-replace-you-today machine called the tech space, this show's for you. Here's Lisa.
Okay, I'm going to land you right with a truth bomb. Lisa Drury coming at you today in Control-Alt-Delete. And here's the truth bomb for leaders in tech. And if you're driving, if you're walking, if you're hiding in the closet, listening to this just for some of your own space, I want to make sure you hear this loud and clear. So burnout and mental health, the responsibility of making sure that happens, that's on you. Making sure that that conversation happens, making sure that the awareness happens, making sure that your team has what they need and that you have what you need. Nobody else is responsible for that except for you. It starts with you. And I know you're probably thinking, well, HR has benefits programs and they do the employee assistance and, you know, they come up with all of these flex work schedules and that's HR's problem to solve. And I'm here to ring the bullshit bell. HR is a partner. HR is a business consultant. HR is also filled with human beings dealing with massive pressure, uncertainty, and volatility, just like you. And as the leader, you have taken the job responsibility to care and to empower and to lead your people, your organization, supporting your customers at this planet. So I'm here today with Susan Nelson, and we are going to keep it real about HR. We're going to talk about burnout, mental health. We are not just going to talk. We're going to share tips and insights. Because this is your responsibility, we want to make sure you have actionable, practical things you can do right now, because we're not here to just dump this on your shoulders, which I know a lot of HR people feel happens to them all the time. We're here to lean into it and help you so that actually today, you don't have to wait. Today, you're going to have some tips and ideas on how you can make it better right now. It's not going to solve the world's problems, but what it will do is empower you to be the best leader you can be so you can get kick-ass results, build high-performing teams, and be present for the moments that matter. And I'm so excited. Susan Nelson from The Pragmatic Life is here. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you so much, Lisa. I'm very happy to be here.
How'd you like that truth bomb? You agree?
I love it.
Yeah, we're going. Yeah. We're going.
Going straight for it, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to go straight to the formal intro on Susan, because you guys need to know why she's the top, why we're having this topic today, because I don't know anybody more qualified than Susan to lean right into this with me. Not only have we known each other over 20 years, but I want to tell you something about Susan, right? She's the founder and chief people strategist of The Pragmatic Life. And it's a management consulting firm that helps leaders and organizations increase their impact, their confidence, and their results through her leadership coaching and consulting services. So like I said, we're not just going to dump this on you. We're going to lean in. She is the right person to be having this conversation with us. And with over 20 years of HR experience guiding global San Francisco Bay Area technology organizations, she knows what it takes to create an awesome employee experience that wows employees and boosts business, because that's why you're here, right? Particularly during times of rapid growth and change. And again, I'll just say it, that's why she's here. There's so much more to say about her. She has consulting services that helps her clients design and develop a cohesive people strategy, people. Cohesive, not a onesie twosie, a cohesive people strategy. And that's really related to high impact programs that attract, engage, and retain the talent that you need for long-term success. And she's an amazing leadership coach. I've benefited from her on my own journey. She's particularly really passionate about HR leaders and helping them revolutionize their roles. So anyone that's in HR listening right now, this is the show for you. She wants to help you feel lit up about your work and recognized for the value you provide, so you're happier at work and in your life. And here's the deal about Susan. She's a career professional mom, and she helps other career professional moms win the work-life tug of war. Is everyone feeling this right now? This is like the most divine meeting, so that you can prioritize family while progressing in your career and find times for the things that matter to you and be in the flow so you're healthier, calmer, and more present. So I'm just going to shut up, because all that being said, we are here today to help you leaders especially those of you that partner with your HR professionals, whether you're at the VC level, CEO level, all the way down frontline manager. What we're going to talk about today is going to help you be the best leader you can be so that you can be present in the moments that matter for you too. So Susan, that's a lot already, right? So tell me, what are you seeing these days? Like, what's really going on for the leadership groups that you're working with, the HR leaders that you're partnering with? To paint a picture for us, what's really going on out there?
Yeah, I think, well, 2020, I mean, has been this trifecta, right, of events that have occurred, right? So it started off in March with the pandemic hitting, right? And we thought, oh boy, you know, this is big. Many of us, actually all of us, have never been through a pandemic before. Pretty much anybody who's been in the working world right now hasn't experienced that. So that's new. Then we had the social unrest and injustice issues over, you know, starting with George Floyd and ongoing worldwide. So those are impacting the workplace now too, in terms of, you know, we've got employees who are just trying to deal with what's happening there. And then most recently, we've had this very tumultuous political season, at least in the United States, right? And dealing with that and trying to figure out how that plays out, and it touches all of our lives in a very individual and specific ways, but it also kind of shows up in the workplace in terms of work performance and employees engagement and so on and so forth. So it's been with those three things, I'm seeing, you know, a lot of, I think initially it was a sort of spinning heads of like, oh my gosh, what do we do? How do we manage this? How do we address this? And then, you know, things started to, we started to figure things out, and then the next thing hit, and it was just like this building, and I'm seeing a lot of burnout in organizations at all levels of leadership, at individual contributor levels. It's those people who are, you know, hitting it hard, you know, hey, it's work from home, okay, I now boundaries are being, you know, blended, like completely. People have no sense of, am I at work, or is this my free time? You know, there's just no delineation there. You've got HR leaders who are trying their best to manage, you know, and help. We tend to be those, let's help everybody else first, and then we're last on the list. And, you know, I'm seeing burnout there too. So it's been one heck of a year. And I feel like we've made some definite strides in how we're dealing with these things. But we've got a long ways to go, because I think there's so much new this year in terms of how we're dealing with mental health in the workplace, right? That's a huge one. And it's just, you know, it's still, there's this stigma attached to it. And I know there are organizations who are definitely, you know, making sure that they're having more of the conversation, but it's uncomfortable. A lot of these conversations are very uncomfortable for people. And frankly, you know, if I look back early in my career, even 10 years ago, those were things you just didn't talk about at work, right? It was always the, oh, it's the private conversation maybe with HR, but it's not the, hey, let's have a stand-up town hall and you tell me what's on your mind and literally talk about anything. People just wouldn't do that. And now it's like, hey, let's talk about the social unrest, right? And let's talk about, you know, mental health and how we can help each other. Because I think I'm seeing a lot of that too, is finding ways to appropriately bring in peer-to-peer support in organizations.
I just want to sigh, because I just relived 2020 as you were talking. You know, you can like see it all happen. And a couple of things I'd like to double click on with you, because I think you're so in the right space to talk about this, is one is mental health. I mean, that's something we got to just put on the table. Another one is around the role of HR and what a leader can really count on and expect from a leader within the HR realm, right? And I think the third is really talking about women. And I say this not to alienate the men in the audience. But everything I keep reading and what I see in my own world, listen, I've taken my own mental health medical leave. I've done it. Raise my hand, I'll tell you. And I didn't tell anybody I did that. Blamed it on a lot of other stuff because it was easier. Like if you have a heart attack, people go, yeah, you need time to recover. If you're not coping mentally, there's this whole thing of, I don't know, you just get labeled a lot of times, right? And so I have been more honest about it than I ever have myself, right? And I've had a lifetime of therapy, which I've told everybody, I'm a huge fan of therapy. But yeah, a lot of people, and what I've seen, I want to be pointed with what I'm saying and just honor your time. But one of the things I'm seeing is that people don't even realize where they're at. It's like, it's so much, you don't even take time to assess what's really going on for you. Are you having more headaches? Do you snap more regularly? Do you feel more angry and resentful? Are you not enjoying the things that you used to enjoy? Are you just dialing it in or checking it in? You know, are you, what do they call it, doom scrolling on your social media, right? Like, where's your energy? Are you the same person? And people, even when it happened to me, I mean, I had a long infertility battle that caused me some depression. And I didn't even know I was there because I was so in it. And so my husband had to say, you're not okay. We need to go figure this out. So I think as a leader, one of the things to really think about is, you know, assessing yourself first. Absolutely. And then looking around, right? So let me share a statistic and then let's go to the mental health place first. I feel like it's just so critical. So I was reading even this morning on CNN, and this just blew my mind, that the rate of suicide in Japan last month alone was higher than the number of COVID deaths in the entire year, COVID cases. Let me be clear. The rate of suicide in Japan last month was higher than the number of COVID cases in Japan since the pandemic started. And the majority of those, the highest numbers are for women. I don't even know what to say about it. So I looked up US statistics, and we don't share them. Ours are as old as like 2018. So I applaud Japan for putting that on the table. I applaud Japan for causing awareness around this. That's huge. And I'd just love to get your thoughts on this from the role of HR, from the role of a leader, women. Yeah. I mean, you're dealing with every one of these slices of the pie. And I'd love to know what we can do, like some tangible, practical advice to help people with this heavy awareness that's really going on right now.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a really staggering statistic, actually. I had not heard that one, but part of me is not surprised in some respects. I think the pandemic has done an excellent job at helping people feel maybe even more isolated than they've ever been before, right? We're working from home in a lot of cases. People are just not having that sense of connectivity, whether it's with family. I mean, I know we just went through the Thanksgiving holiday here in the US, and I know a lot of people, and we were told, especially where I live in the Bay Area, stay home, right? Don't get together with people outside of your household, and you know, for safety reasons, obviously. But you know, people are not feeling that sense of, they feel very alone. They don't feel like they have the support that they need. And then there's this stigma, right, that comes along with it that we talked a little bit about earlier. And I think the thing that we have to think about as leaders in the workplace is we have to make it more part of our regular vernacular or regular conversation, and not make it to be this sort of touchy subject. And when I say that, I think about like how we check in with one another, and we hear about it, you know, a lot of us are doing it over Zoom, but it's sort of the, hey, how was your weekend? And you get the standard response, or like you ask somebody, how are you? Oh yeah, I'm fine. You know, and this, it happens in the physical workplace too. You and I've both been there. You walk down the hallway and that, you know, it's like, oh, fine. You know, you don't say much more. And now it's like, I think the conversation has to shift, and it doesn't have to be super personal questions. It could be just simply like, how are you doing? Or how are you sleeping? Right? Like, these are the things that are going to be showing up. You know, if you're, I know I've had sleepless nights where I'm just kind of ruminating on things and trying to figure it all out. What am I going to do? Chances are, if your employees aren't sleeping well, they've got something on their minds, right? It may not be necessarily a mental health issue, but it there's anxiety in the system, right? Whether you've ever had an anxiety issue before, I guarantee you almost everybody should have anxiety in this country right now, because this is not a normal time. And for a lot of first timers who are experiencing this, we're not quite sure what to do. It's like, wow, is this normal? You know, should I be feeling this way? And I was even having a conversation with my 10-year-old daughter just the other day. And she was, you know, she's watching a lot more TV than she really should be these days, but she's watching these commercials for, you know, antidepressant drugs, right? And they tell you all these symptoms. And she says, Mom, I think I have that.
Yeah.
I'm missing my friends. I'm missing my friends at school. And I don't have these, I don't feel connected. And this is a 10-year-old saying this, right? And I thought, wow. And so getting employees to really acknowledge and see what's happening, because I think that is part of it. And I had a very similar sort of burnout experience in terms of, you know, I remember walking down the hallways of my corporate offices at the time and just feeling like I was in autopilot or just not, you know, kind of very going through the motions, but not really there. And you do, you, before you realize what's happening, you're so far in it. You know, you need somebody to kind of help pull you back out. Yeah. And I think the key is to get to people before they get that far, right, down the path. And I think through conversations, whether it's a one-on-one with manager to employee, you know, beyond the just, you know, how's it going? You know, how was your weekend conversation? And just really checking in. And probably the most important question is, how can I help? Right? How can I be of help to you right now in whatever it is, whether it's a work project or personal thing, right? And of course, knowing when to bring in the professionals too, right? So if you've got an employee who's sitting there saying, you know, I've got all these, you know, issues, you know, you have resources through HR and benefits to bring in mental health resources at your disposal, but the manager has the most influence and the most connectivity to the individual employee right now. And their leaders are 10,000 times more important now than they were at the beginning of the year,
because
you are their lifeline right now. Managers and leaders are their connection. They don't have the natural connections that they had when they were in the office. And typically the manager is the one that they meet one-on-one with on some regular basis.
Yeah.
So that's huge right now.
Yeah, I will say in my own experience coaching leaders and running the programs that I run, I hear a lot of what I don't want to get sued. I shouldn't be in their business. I don't want to overstep. And so some of the conversations I've been having, you tell me if you're seeing this too, it's more about opening it up for the person to share what they want, not getting really, how's your marriage? No. How are you sleeping? Yes. Right. Are you anxious? No. You know, what are you worried about work? You know, it's really framing it in the context of work, not necessarily going into the person's personal life. Now, listen, we all share stuff at some time, right? And I also think it's not really appropriate to bring it up in a team meeting. Okay, let's go around the room. How's everyone's mental health?
Sure.
No. However, you can have an emoji stick, like, how are you feeling right now? And you can kind of goof, be a little silly with it and look for trends. And one of the things that I know when it was my own experience, not realizing where I was, there's plenty of things online where it's basic questions to ask yourself. Heck, your daughter saw a commercial, right? These questions are out there. You know, are you enjoying the things you used to? Are you sleeping? Are you coping through food, drugs, sex, shopping, whatever, right? And then everyone goes, oh, that's just pandemic. I'm like, no. Like, there's more to this. And so when I work with the folks that I'm working with, I tell them, you know, go do the inventory for yourself so you can learn to spot it, because I can see it much easier now because I know than I could have when I was in it. And here's the other thing I can say. I actually had an employee when I was running one of my organizations inside a corporation. And her performance was really going down. And I was like, she is not herself. And yet I needed the job to get done. And so we were getting to the point of a PIP, performance improvement plan, right? But my heart, like, I knew there was something more. I just knew it. And I think we all have this spidey sense as leaders if we're paying attention. Now, I get everything is really crazy right now. But if you had an awesome performer who's not performing now, I feel like give them the benefit of the doubt and have that conversation about what flexibility, what can I do to support you right now? I'm not going to promise you anything, but I'd love to invite you to a conversation to figure out what's in the way of you being your best, right? Especially when we talk about women right now with the distance learning and the holiday prep and the blah, 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 and the worried about the parents. And there's so much that if you were to just say, and this is my one tangible tip, get really clear if you need the camera on, people, right? Susan and I got dressed. I got pajama bottoms on, but let me tell you, from here up, I'm ready to rock, right? That takes time. And people want to feel like they're putting their best foot forward. So be clear when the camera's needed. I'm also tethered to my desk when I'm on my camera. I'm not out in nature having a one-on-one walk. So like the smallest things can really, right now, you can do as a leader. How are you sleeping? What do you need from me to be your best at work? Let's talk about how much effort it is for you to be on camera. Let's be clear on that. Like, these are some tangible things. What are you seeing? What's working in your world, Susan?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And I think there are conversations about just setting expectations of, right, like, let's, and it's somewhat of a, I don't use the word negotiation, but it's like, you, if you have specific expectations as a leader of your employees, have that dialogue and understand what it takes to get them to be fully, you know, camera ready, if it is, if that's what it is in your workplace. And, you know, I know there are, and everyone's different. I think that's the other thing, is what works for one employee doesn't necessarily work for another. So you see some employees who are like, yeah, let's do the happy hour Zoom call. And working parents are like, heck no, I'm done. I just need time with my family. And so it's really giving that flexibility and being open to what employees, different employees may want. And finding even beyond just your team, like you might have a mix on your team, finding ways to create engagement outside of your team for those people. Let's say you have some people who are maybe, you know, singles who are at home, no kids, who do feel very isolated and want more connection, that you can do that in ways, you know, there's apps out there like Water Cooler and other, you know, that tag onto Slack and other tools that you can create these sort of meetups, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's all voluntary, right? Employees can sign up to do this or not, but that's one avenue that leaders can do. And don't just think within, maybe you have a team of five people. So you don't think, okay, I have to just do it within my team. And it creates actually great opportunities to meet people outside of their world of influence, and meet other parts of the business, perhaps, that they wouldn't have had exposure to before, which is super great. It's kind of a win-win all around. But yeah, I think there's so much that leaders can do. And I think I agree 100%. It does start with you. Make sure you're okay, right? Make sure you are taking care of yourself first. It's that whole adage of, you know, put your mask on before you.
I know. I've never found anything better, but I hate saying it too. Like, how many times have you heard to put your mask on? I'm like, F the mask. I don't have time for the mask. You know?
Well, that's just it, right? We're so rush, let's get this done, that we don't realize. And then we were like, whoa, what happened? How did, you know, reflecting back, you're thinking, ooh, how did we get here? But I agree, the whole, you know, there is that fine line between, you know, keeping it, you know, work related versus diving into the personal. And absolutely, you always think about, you know, come from a human perspective, right? And being able to get into a dialogue of, first, yeah, you're thinking as a leader, how can I help this employee be more productive at work, right? Or how can I help them, you know, what is it that they need from me? Now, they may divulge more than that. And, you know, you can listen to that. And at some point, you know, maybe you need to cut it off and say, hey, maybe you need some other support. But knowing what's in your toolbox and being able to have those conversations and being vulnerable. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Let's go there, girl. Hashtag vulnerable. Let's go.
That's a huge one. And it's so scary for so many leaders. But I think when leaders can come across, and it's not about sharing everything, you know, it's just when it's appropriate, sharing maybe an experience that you had as a leader. And it doesn't have to be in an all hands meeting. It could be, you know, in a smaller setting. But it just helps to make you more real to your people. It makes you feel more approachable when something does come up. I think more than ever now with people working from home, we're seeing sides of people's lives that we never had exposure to before. It's like, oh, you have a cat, or oh, you have kids, or you've got, you know, nice art on the wall, or whatever it is, to just, you know, having that next dimension of relationship with people. And I think if you try to come across as being the, you know, the executive that you were when you were in the office and keeping all the compartmentalizing your mm-hmm. personal life and your work life. And I know a lot of executives who do that and for, you know, many good reasons, I'm sure. But now I think people really need to see the human in the leadership team, because that's what's going to keep them engaged and moving forward. And if they feel like, hey, we're all in this together, I'm experiencing a lot of the same challenges and issues you are, and here's how I'm dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
That can go a long way with people versus feeling like, oh gosh, I'm on an island. I'm the only one who's feeling, look at everybody else. Yep. They look perfect on screen. And here I am just trying to hold it together
mm-hmm.
and not have my kid run across the room every 5 minutes screaming. So
yeah,
there's a lot that leaders can do. And I think being vulnerable and putting yourself out there more than you may have in the past, it maybe takes a little pressure off of yourself too, as a leader yeah. to, mm-hmm. and, you know, you, it's like, okay, I don't have to be so perfect all the time, but also it's very powerful to your team and your employees when they see that. So I think that's a huge one right now.
I really appreciate the vulnerability piece that you're talking about. And what I'm seeing, the leaders that were human before have a much easier time with this. You know, when you talk tech and everyone is really around, I'm brilliant, I have my PhD, I have all the answers, ones and zeros, everything connects, it's all logical. I think about Spock, and I'm not judging anyone, right? I always think about Spock and Darth Vader. Spock is well-intended, highest and best for everybody, no room for feelings, right? Until Captain Kirk helps him over once in a while. Darth Vader is like, no feelings, get the damn sail or you're dead. You know what I mean? Like there's two mm-hmm. different, I think as a leader, you got to figure out, do you want to be Spock? And do you have a Captain Kirk who can help you be vulnerable? Or do you want right. to be Darth Vader and just go like make numbers no matter what and leave bodies around you? Like there's a lot mm-hmm. of tech that's just laying people off, like, right? Yes. And it feels very Darth Vader experience. Like I just gave 20 years of my life to you and I'm gone now. Like what the F? And then mm-hmm. you have like the Spocks when you're like, oh God, please find some heart in there. Please, you know, take one project off my plate. Please reset the priorities for this organization. Mm-hmm. And so I say like, find your Captain Kirk, because they're out yeah. there. And I think about HR is almost Captain Kirk. Mm-hmm. Now, this is all just real time happening for me. I didn't yeah. plan this, okay? But I was in HR and I will tell you, I was Captain Kirk. Like, hey, here's mm-hmm. what you're missing. That's all great. And so-and-so just had their knee replaced and so-and-so's mother is dying and da-da-da, blah, blah. And they go, oh, I had no idea. Yeah, you're not asking. Spock, mm-hmm. here's your questions. How's it going at home? Anything you need, anything coming up that might get in the way of your performance? Or, mm-hmm. hey, the last 3 quarters, you've blown your sales numbers out of the water. This quarter, I'm not seeing anything on deck. What's in the way? How can I help? Do you know, like still recognizing they're awesome and yep. still being factual, but that's also feeling, right? And so I would love to think of, if you're a leader and you're like, well, HR can solve employee relations problem and employee assistance programs, and they come up with all the benefits. That's not a Captain Kirk, yep. right? Captain Kirk is, I am your partner. I am your advisor. I'm going to help you laugh when it's hard, celebrate when we win. And I'm going to be right there with you when we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
So when you're talking to the leaders in your organization, and I already did this one, I was like, quit just, you know, thinking you can just take the list from HR and be a wonderful leader. Hell no. Go look at the list, go to the websites, look at it through your own lens if you were going to sign up, and then see if it makes sense, and then give HR some feedback. Don't just pass a paper to your employees. Mm-hmm. So if you agree, and you can disagree too. I love disagreements. It's all good. We can all have our own perspective. But if you agree with the Captain Kirk Spock kind of approach here about partnership, just curious on your thoughts on that, and how can leaders best partner with a Captain Kirk versus just being a Darth Vader? I think, yeah. Let me ask it differently. Yeah. If you don't want to be a Darth Vader and you want to be a Spock and have a Captain Kirk as your HR professional, you know, your sidekick who keeps it real and helps you see the bigger picture, how can leaders partner with HR better right now? And what should they know about what's happening for their Captain Kirk HR peeps?
That's a great question. And by the way, Captain Kirk doesn't always have to be another HR leader. It could be a peer, right? That has right? just yes. fantastic leadership capabilities. So But absolutely HR can
say it again. Hold on. We got to say it again. Captain Kirk doesn't just need to be an HR person. Captain Kirk can be
another leader with just fantastic capabilities of, you know, they've got strong leadership skills.
Somebody you admire who's really rocking it, right?
A mentor, right? It could be. Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Tend to be, in my experience, tend to be the strongest relationships and learnings, because they're seeing another leader emulate exactly what they're supposed to do. Because let's face it, so many of us have worked for bad leaders for so many years that we don't know what right looks like. And then when we see it, it's like, yeah, copy that, right? Mm-hmm. And let's do more of that. And that's almost to a T. Every single fantastic leader I've worked with has had somebody like that in their career, where they have learned from their watching them execute in their, you know, in their role, in a way that they had never experienced before. And as an HR professional, I've even learned that way, right? And coach other leaders based on what I have seen. And some of my work has been pairing them up and saying, hey, do you know this person? You really need to, you know, get connected with them and creating those connections. But yeah, absolutely. HR can be the Kirk, Captain Kirk for you. I think the thing that leaders need to know about HR is, you know, I keep hearing this phrase about, especially at schools, like, oh, you know, we're not superhuman, right? You're doing all these great things. We're not superhuman, right? We're just like everybody else. We have some experience and context with things and maybe have a third party view of what's happening that could be very reflective. But like you said, there's going to be times when, especially this year, is like, really, does anybody know what the hell to do with this pandemic? Like when this first hit, everyone was like, what the heck? And all eyes were on HR. And there was a lot of discussion about HR leaders making it this year. Like it's sort of the separating the wheat from the chaff, right? It was like, how many HR leaders are really going to, and I hate to say this, but be exposed in terms of how prepared or unprepared they are for change, right? And change management is what this year's all been about, right?
Yep.
And there are a lot of people who've been moved into senior level roles who probably were very, whether HR or not, right? Very unprepared. Mm-hmm. And then others who have really risen to the occasion and said, okay, we're here, we're in this together, we're here we are, let's go figure this out. And being open and willing to, kind of back to the vulnerability, sharing that, hey, I may not know all the answers. We may not know all the answers, but let's work hard to figure this out. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing that I've seen in just talking with my clients is just this idea of talking to people. If you don't know, find out by asking the question.
Yep.
A lot of people are very afraid to ask because they feel like, well, that makes me look like I don't know what I'm doing. Well, no, duh. We don't know what we're doing.
So. Yeah, right. Your job description doesn't say you have to have all the answers. Let's be really clear. Your job description doesn't say you must have all the answers. Your job description says you're going to get work done through others. Mm-hmm. Right. And with that means you better collectively bring people together, unlock the collective intelligence and connect the heart so that you can be a much stronger team. Yep. If you think you have to have all the answers, you're on the path to burnout more than anything and all the way to Darth Vader because you're pissed off because so-and-so didn't figure it out and they can't read your mind. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pandemic or no, right? I mean,
exactly.
That holds true anytime, right? But absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there was one thing I kind of a little bit back to what we were saying earlier around, checking in with your employees, you know, the person who used to be a high performer and now you've noticed that they're not, but the converse is also true. If you find that your high performer is still killing it right now, I guarantee you something's not right there.
Yep.
And they are silently, maybe even unknowingly burning themselves out and they need permission to slow down.
Yes.
Because they're not going to give that to themselves and they're on the fast track to burnout and you'll be shocked and they'll be shocked when it happens. So if you have someone who is constantly working day, night. There's no boundaries. It's just on. They're killing it on their projects. And you're thinking, yeah, this is awesome. It's not awesome. Check in with that person and give them permission to give themselves a break. And maybe it's even taking some work away from them. Yep. Because honest to God, that person, this is not sustainable and they will burn out. So just, I wanted to put that out there.
I'm so glad you did. I want to even double click on it for you. So one time I had an employee and I honest to God went into PowerPoint and I made a permission slip. Okay. Because this person needed something tangible because in one ear and out the other back to work. And I'd say, you need to take a vacation. You're not going to be okay. This is not sustainable. I've said this is not sustainable 1,000 times in my life, right? Yeah. No. Open your calendar. Okay. I want you to take every Friday off. Or, you know, when's the time when your kids are in school that you can count on and you can have an hour for yourself? Take a walk, right? Mm-hmm. I actually paid for one of my employees to take a sewing class because I was like, you have got to get out of your head. Yeah. And well, what do you mean? I'm like, yes, I will pay for this, right? I need you to be okay. Mm-hmm. And as much as it's so easy for Spock or Darth Vader to take advantage and benefit from that high achieving, always on, motivated by never good enough until the next tape out, next product, next release, right? Mm-hmm. No, stop it. Stop it right now. That is not okay. You are their leader and they are entrusted in your team. And yes, it's great. And it's also a recipe for poor health, mental and physical, marriages getting ruined, you know, children not being cared for, right? Because if everything is work right now, there is something wrong. Even if you're single, even if there's no kids or no aging parents, the stress, the uncertainty that's going on. If Susan, this is such an important point. I'm on a soapbox because I was that person. I've had people that were that person. And the only way you can stop that is to help them understand a boundary and to make it safe enough to fall apart, right? Because I guarantee you, when that person sleeps a whole weekend away and comes back refreshed, you will get more out of them and they will be more loyal.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. I love that you brought this up. This is so important. And I think that's true for HR people too. Mm-hmm. People in the HR role, they got year in comp, you know, open enrollment, tracing every exposure. Are you kidding me?
Within a 24-hour period?
Not sustainable. No. Right?
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing, you know, specifically talking about HR leaders is, you know, just like you and me, they're employees, they're dealing with their own personal things, but they're also trying to manage through all the normal cyclical programs throughout a year, right? Open enrollment is happening right now. You've got, you know, maybe performance reviews of some level or sort. I had a person in my mastermind group was talking about they were going through their promotions for the organization. Mm-hmm. And we always think of ourselves last, right? But in this case, this person said, well, what about me? You know, what HR person ever thinks about themselves when it comes to the promotion process? But this person thankfully stood up for herself and said, what about me? And got the promotion. And I was so thrilled for her, but it's such a rarity, I guess. And it shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people who go into HR are very, you know, empathetic people who really put others before themselves, and we get a lot of fulfillment by helping others. Mm-hmm. But when we do that, we tend to put ourselves last on the list. And so I've seen a lot of HR folks who are just, you know, got this program rolled out and I'll take a break when this is done. And it's like, but that's never done. And there's always something else coming up. And so it's being, you know, very diligent about making that time for yourself. And sometimes it's creating those habits, those small habits, like you're saying, you know, take the Friday off, right? Maybe one Friday is okay, it feels forced, but when you make it a regular pattern, your body, like physically, you start to go, oh, okay, I need this. I am benefiting from this. And you won't see it initially, but trust me, if you do it enough times, you start going, wow, I do come back more refreshed. I do come back ready to go. And even just taking the lunchtime walk, right? Versus sitting and eating at your desk. which, you know, at home or at the office, it's a world of difference. And I think we just don't stop long enough to really think about doing those things for ourselves. So HR folks definitely need to do the same, you know, self-care as any leader would. Yeah. And I think we operate in our genius when we're in collaboration with one another and with other leaders, right? And that's how I've always worked when I was a business partner working for various corporations. I enjoyed the collaboration and the mind share of sharing ideas and figuring out, okay, how are we going to do this, was really empowering, because I didn't feel like I had to have all the answers, because sometimes we do feel like that, you know, it's like, oh, well, what do we do? What do we do? And I think in the beginning of the pandemic, that's what the reaction was looking at, oh, go to the HR person and, you know, CEO, figure out, ask the HR leader, go figure this out. And that's when this weight came on our shoulders of like, oh my gosh, I got to go figure this out. Mm-hmm. And as any good HR person does, they go find their community of other HR leaders who also got this, you know, heavy weight put on their shoulders and said, what are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. And so I'm very strong advocate of community and finding your community and being able to leverage that, whether you're an HR leader or any other kind of leader. It's so important, because we can't do these things all on our own. It's just too hard, and we don't have all the answers. And there's more than one way to skin the cat, right? It's like, there's about a million ways to Sunday to get this done. Mm-hmm. Some better than others, maybe. And it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. And then you customize for your organization, right? You can definitely get some good food for thought and then go, okay, how will that work within our culture? Which is another topic I think is important around this year in particular, is company culture. It's so foundational to companies getting through this and being able to succeed or not. Mm-hmm. And I think cultures are being tested, absolutely tested. Is it truly embedded in everything you do, or is it just words on a wall? So I think that's really coming through for a lot of organizations right now who may have thought they had it all together. Mm-hmm. but it really, if you have those strong cultural foundations, that will guide you through tough decisions that you have to make as an organization, as leaders, to say, okay, that's your true north, right? Is that really holding true for us now in this stage? And it can be really powerful to lean on those when you need them. And it can also be very devastating when you find out that maybe those cultural norms aren't any longer serving us, right, as an organization, and we need to pivot or move or reevaluate what really holds true for us. Because those do change as companies scale and grow.
Yep.
You know, what worked at one stage may not necessarily be at the next. So that's another one.
I just want to lean into something here that I read that I think is so important right now. So you're talking about, well, if we unpack this, we're talking about HR people not having all the answers, you know, the HR function not having all the answers, but being really good about leaning into a community, right? And you have a mastermind that you run for HR professionals because you know it's important. So you bring them together, right? I do the same with executives. And what we both know to be true is that sometimes you're not going to know everything inside because it doesn't feel safe to be that vulnerable. And we're talking about, go be vulnerable at work. So if you're not comfortable at work, go find a mastermind, you know, find somebody you trust that's creating an opportunity like that to have that kind of mind share. Super important. Absolutely. Second, culture. Oh my gosh. Ask yourself, are you surrounded by Darth Vaders or Spocks or Captain Kirks or whatever? Like, go figure out what's really true, right? Because I'm going to tell you something, when this is all over, if you've treated your people like shit and you haven't checked in with your people, you will have no business. You have no business being a leader. Okay. If you're not checking in with your people and you're not figuring this out real time with them. And one thing I want to do to liberate you, here's your permission slip. If I could draw it up right now, you have permission to not have all the answers. Every leader listening right now, you have permission to not have all the answers. And here's why I'm going to say this. We as a society used to be conditioned to build widgets. There was a formula, right? You're going to build hammers. They all look the same. Cars, whatever. Well, guess what? We are no longer in the widget building business. We are in the knowledge-based business. We are innovators in tech. We are constantly pushing to the realm of what's not even possible becoming possible. And guess what that comes with? Not having all the answers. The best thing you can do is hire and retain and engage brilliant people and then allow them to contribute. And so this is my last point on my soapbox. Introverts. Anybody on here who's an introvert listening in, I would like to give you permission to not have it all figured out as well. Whether you are the C-level, frontline manager, first level manager, individual contributor, wherever you are in the spectrum of leadership, because we are all leaders in our own lives, you don't have to have all the answers. And here's my magic formula. And everyone I coach loves this and they use it immediately and it changes their world. You know, I haven't thought it all through just yet, but my initial reaction is this. Or I'd like some more time to really process what you're asking. My initial thoughts are blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I'd really like more time. And I get we have to make this decision right now. If I had to decide right now, based on what I know, I would do this. So giving yourself that runway verbally with whoever you're talking to allow yourself to not be perfect and yet still contribute will make all the difference in the world. And that's true even if you're the boss. Mm-hmm. You know, never been through a pandemic before. Here's what I know to be true. We got to get computers at everybody's desks at home and make sure everyone's got Wi-Fi. What are your thoughts? I mean, that just brings everybody in. So I'm on a full-on mission to unlock heads and hearts at speed and scale, which brings everything you know and everything you feel as far as your core values back to culture together so that we can have a better planet. By the way, if you want to know my secret mission, I would like this planet to be better for all of us. And that starts with each one of us as leaders. So Susan, it's so important what you're saying. And I really just want to double click on that whole needing to be perfect. And then finding a group that is like-minded in the sense of function or level or problems, yeah, like your mastermind for HR leaders, or finding, you know, a coach or a program, whatever, it doesn't matter. Find somewhere to go. And then give yourself permission. I'm now giving you the permission slip to not have all the answers and to remember we're not built for that. And the last thing on my soapbox, if I can, it's my podcast, so I get to soapbox it, right? Here's the deal. Your brain cannot function always on. Mm. And in tech, we are always on. Mm. So if you think you're making the best quality decisions for the long term of your business or your people, and you're not sleeping, you're wrong. If you think you're making the best decisions for your family, as far as how you're going to do distance learning or elder care, or should we travel for the holiday, whatever, and you're not sleeping, you're wrong. I run retreats called Whispers in White Space. And I can tell you, and Susan knows, because we've done this together, when you allow yourself reflection time and you allow yourself quiet, you are regenerating your brain cells. I mean, you're regenerating, you're giving yourself life again. And so while this badge of productivity and badge of run, 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 go, 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 and you know, that used to be so rewarded and admired, stop doing that. It's not serving your business. It's not serving your own health. It's certainly not serving your people. And again, it's not serving the planet. So Susan, I'll let you talk to that. I mean, whatever you want to say, because I soapboxed it, and thank you for letting me get it all out.
No, I love that. I think one of the things that came to mind immediately was the power of meditation. And I think the data is there, right? I think there's absolute data that shows that the more often you meditate, the more present you can be in your life, the better that you perform. And I think workplaces, leaders, you're seeing this show up in all kinds of leadership courses. And I remember, you know, when it first came on the scene, I don't know, 5 years ago, whatever, started getting bigger and you heard more about it. It was like, oh yeah, okay, that's like fluffy, right? But there's actual hard evidence that shows this. And people are starting to come on board and seeing absolute dramatic differences when they become regular meditators, or whatever you want to call it, being more mindful, more present, right? And it doesn't have to be just through meditation, but that's probably one of the best ways to practice. And this is an area that I'm continually working on, but finding that quietness, being still, and reflective. I remember I used to joke years ago when I was in the chaos of working in a large organization and just working, you know, a mile a minute. I did my best thinking in the shower. I kid
totally,
you not.
Totally. I'm 100% with you.
And that was because
you.
I was by myself, mm-hmm. and I could just literally, I don't know what it was, but it was like, mm-hmm. I would have these epiphanies and it would just be like, wow, okay, let's go do that. You know? And, mm-hmm. and it was just, and now that I look back on it, it's like, yeah, because I had that quiet space to myself.
Yep.
Because even when I was driving to work, it was like I was either listening to some book on tape or I was taking calls more often
exactly.
than not on my Bluetooth or, you know, somebody who was in you name it country that was mm-hmm. 10 hours ahead of me, right?
And exactly.
I was trying to connect. So it there was very little space in my life at that time to find those quiet moments. So that mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in that. And I continually try to work on my own practice around meditation and finding that mindfulness. But the other thing that you had said about I'm forgetting it now, but it was had to do with this group, finding community. Yeah, huge believer in, you know, just as my own experience, right? I think, again, when I did my best work, I was not alone. I was with mm-hmm. other people. And you can find that community within your workplace. But I think as you go up the chain, the higher you go, the more important it is to find those safe spaces outside of your organization too. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, you get judged more when the higher you go up. You know, people are watching what you're doing more closely. You feel like all eyes are on you. You don't feel as comfortable being vulnerable with your peers, right? Yeah. And in some organizations, let's face it, there's some, depending on the senior leadership, there are some, you know, I've worked in organizations where the CEO would pit their executive staff against each other, right? I yeah. mean, it can get ugly, right? So I think finding your safe space where you can be vulnerable enough to learn and to grow mm-hmm. is key, and being able to, you know, bounce ideas. And it could be a coach, right? It doesn't have to be yep. necessarily a group, but mm-hmm. it could be a one-on-one coaching situation where you're just like, hey, I'm really struggling with this and I'm not sure, you know, which way to go. Let's talk about other, you know, thoughts, ideas around it. Yeah. And I find that can be so powerful. And, you know, I every great leader I've worked with has either had a coach or had some group that they belong to that they could really do just that. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to get into the nitty gritty. It wasn't like, oh, let's just talk about, you know, fluffy stuff. And that's where, you know, part of my world is, you know, I'm very pragmatic. Let's talk
yeah.
about like, how this actually works in real life.
Yeah, I love it.
But, you know, I had an executive that I was working with when I was working in a corporation, and he was like, I need to work with someone who's done this before me, mm-hmm. who had the same struggles before me,
yep.
who worked their way through it and how they did it. And I want to, it was almost like a mentor that he was looking for. Mm-hmm. And of course, as an HR leader, that wasn't me. And I knew enough to say, okay, that's not me. Let's go find you that person. And we did. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. And that's yeah. what he wanted. And it worked well. And he would certainly come to me for other things, right, where he needed more HR guidance and support in terms of knowing the organization. And I think that's where HR can play a really great, you know, in working with, okay, maybe there's an outside coach or an outside guidance, but you're the internal. You know what's going on in that world.
Yep.
You know all the players. You know the dynamics. This outside person doesn't know all that as intimately as you do. And so being able to partner, and many times I've had, you know, we were like this three-pronged stool. You've got the executive or the leader, you've got me as the HR person, and then you have this outside coach. And it was fantastic when the three of us worked very powerfully together mm-hmm. to support that individual. Really amazing things happened. So
I love it.
Yeah.
I see that too in the work that I do. And I partner very closely with the HR person. Usually HR is the one that hires me to come and do a training program or coach an executive, right? They're the one that they know me, they bring me in. And then the exec and I get to go do that work. But we're always partnering back with HR because your internal HR person, I'm just repeating what you're saying. Amen, sister. How about that? Amen, sister to that. Yeah. So two things before we wrap up, because you and I could do this 7 days
all
a week,
long.
All day.
Yeah.
We just love sharing, right? That's Susan and I together. So one of the things that was coming to mind for me when you were talking is I'm not really sure how to say this because I soapboxed it so much, but the thing I want to say about this is when you take a look at the job description, and we started off with this truth bomb, right? Your responsibility is to care for your people and open the world up to better understand what's going on for them as far as the business goes too. So if you had two or three practical things, so that as we're wrapping this up, they're really, you know, they don't have to go back and listen. They just have us summarizing. Mm-hmm. A couple of things I heard from you was like, be vulnerable in the right place at the right time. Understand the role of HR and how they can help you find a mentor, right? Those kind of things. I know there's more nuggets in there that I just don't want this audience to miss out on. So if you were like to do Susan's top five list of things you can do today for your own mental health and others, right? And running your business, I'm just curious, if I'm David Letterman, you know, number five is like, what, tell me what's let's pull it out of you and make sure they have this as they're, as we're doing this.
Sure. Gosh, five things. So I would say definitely, you know, talk to your people, right? On a regular basis, mm-hmm. right? Whatever that looks like. And it could be, you know, as simple as, you know, really just how are you feeling today, right? What's going on in your world? It could be, let's see, what else would be, there's so many things that's just like, how do I narrow it
down? Yeah. Can we do it together? Would that be okay?
Sure. Yeah.
I heard you say, there's apps. I heard you talk about apps, mm-hmm. right? So for me, Relax Melodies was an app I went to constantly. Mm-hmm. And I would actually mm-hmm. be in one-on-ones with my boss and I would put the music on. And he knew I'm ready to blow. I need a couple minutes, right? And I don't want to dump it on you. And then he actually said to me, can we start every meeting with that music? It totally gets me centered. Wow. So Relax Melodies, it was like a Japanese flute I used to play and my whole team knew. Okay. If they heard the flute, like take a moment for Lisa. It was just me trying to manage, right? Because I knew I was pissed off and frustrated. So I
and
heard.
For me, there's similar to that. There's for me, movement, right? And I know for a lot of people, whatever that could be, dance, right? If you just need to change your mental mood, you need to prepare for a meeting and you need to be more energized, just get up and move and dance or, you know, do power poses or go for a spin around the building for a minute, right? And just get yourself ready and prepared.
Right. Be ready. Make the time to be ready. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I was doing a session with a group of sales engineers and, you know, they were in back-to-back Zoom fatigue meetings, right? I said, hold on, just so you know, we're not having that. And I had them shake their hands as I'm shaking mine and losing my headset.
Oh no.
Hold on. This is hilarious. So for all of you on video, this is real. I was like, okay, shake your hands, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, this is so lame. And you know what happened? Oh. They all started smiling and they were all like, this feels good. This feels great. Yeah. So movement, right? Yes.
Right.
Okay, we got movement. Mm-hmm.
What like else? Breaking up the monotony in any way that you can, I think is super helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, this may sound silly, but it's like eat at regular intervals, right? Like
exactly.
Taking that time for yourself to do mm-hmm. what you need to do or breaks. You know, I'm at home a lot of times. I'll, you know, block out the day so I can actually check in with my kids and see what's going on, and finding that whatever fulfills you, right? That's going to recenter you and regroup you for the next 3-hour block that you're going to mm-hmm. be stuck to your computer or focused on something. And realize, just know that you are this connection for your employees, right? And like it's a big responsibility. And you're the glue right now, for lack of being in an office space for a lot of us. And that can be a lot of pressure. And so any way you can to, you know, reset for yourself and re-energize yourself so that you can be more resilient over time, you know, through meditation, mm-hmm. regular, whatever it is, movement, all of those things can help for sure. The community piece, we talked a lot about that. I think that's, you know, finding that, but practical steps. Gosh, there's just, I don't know why they're escaping me.
Well,
right
I have one. I'm have one that you've taught me. Can I do one that you've taught me?
Yeah. Okay.
Have fun.
Mm.
Have some damn fun. And that can mean, Emma, I don't want to out you for your fun. That'll be the fun fact about Susan, what she does for fun. I mean, it's so fun. I totally want to do it. You know, like I'm a big fan of Soul Pancake. You know, it's a video series. there's way more to it, but I'll, you know, like I watch one of those and I'll laugh, or, you know, I'll make silly faces with my daughter on flipping Snapchat for a minute, and I got dog ears, and I just, it like lightens the load. Right. And so, you know, tell us a fun fact about Susan that's fun for you that, you know, leaders might enjoy.
Oh gosh.
Or find fascinating, find fascinating about you.
So many things. Well, yeah, I have this silly streak that kind of shows up now and then. And, you know, of course I have my corporate mode, and, you know, a lot of people at work don't know this about me, but, you know, I think I've told you before, I have this like ideal of, you know, having like a flash mob pillow fight, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't done it yet, but it's on my list of things to do, but like just being goofy and kind of bringing the child back into us, I think at yep. times can really lighten a mood and really mm-hmm. help you just kind of be like, you know what, in the grand scheme of things, is this really something I need to be this uptight about? Yep. Probably not. Yep. So finding that, and again, it makes you more human to the world. But, mm-hmm. You know, I've done things, I've been on, not as a contestant, but as a studio participant in The Price is Right back in the Bob Barker days.
Yeah, baby.
Know, and doing, I mean, getting up at like 6 o'clock or seven, probably like 5 o'clock in the morning to just get in line to get on that damn show. Yeah. But it was so fun. And it was like something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And I finally did it. And it was just, it's just really silly and fun. But
I love it.
And yeah. That's how I spend my off time, right? I'm goofy with my kids, and I'm just, you know, because mm-hmm. there's only so many hours a day you can be this, I don't want to say uptight, because I try not to be uptight.
You are not uptight, my friend. Very buttoned up. How about that? Buttoned up.
Mm-hmm. Buttoned up. Yeah. At work. And, you know, there's times when you have to absolutely be, you know, professional, but it doesn't mean you can't have fun.
Exactly.
While you're doing it too.
Yeah. Yep. So, yep, I totally agree.
We spend so much time working.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back, it's like you want to be able to have had some fun during your day, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah.
No, that's fun is a core value for me. It's a core value, big time. That's why I can't wait till the pandemic is over and I can show up at your house with a pillow and start just smacking you around.
Totally. Hey.
And then I'll dance the thriller or something.
Bring it. I've got my feather pillows ready to go.
Right. And actually, let's end on this one, right? So I'm building a playlist, because I know music matters, and we haven't even touched on music yet. So this is perfect closeout, right? Practical things. Yeah. So I can tell you for sure, when you listen to a song that you love, some people have like workout soundtracks, right? I'm going to tell you, starting your day with the right music changes your whole freaking attitude, right? Totally so agree. I know you want the flash mob with the pillow fight. So I'm curious, what song can I add to my playlist for our listeners that puts a smile on your face and raises your energy? Because we all can control where our energy goes. I'd love to know what that song is for you.
I would say that song for me is Happy by Pharrell.
Dude, this is like, it keeps coming up. Pharrell
does
it
really?
Absolutely. Yes. So people.
The minute I hear the first like few bars of that song, we could be in the car, me and my kids, and all of our arms go straight up in the air and we're just, you know, dancing around, right? It's just one of those really catchy tunes.
I love it.
You know, and it literally changes your whole day. And in fact,
it does.
One quick point on that. My son he's in first grade. He's been homeschooling or distance learning, and when they first started doing this, his teacher, brilliant, started the day off with a song, and they cranked the sound on this thing, and of course I had to tell him, you know, lower it down. it was this happy morning song.
Yep.
And I got into it, and I was dancing around the room, and he's looking at me like, what are you doing, mom?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But it was catchy, and it literally made my Monday mornings so much better.
Yep.
And it was all because of this silly kid song. And I couldn't even tell you what the name of it was, but I could sing the lyrics, but I won't do that to your listener.
But it's, you know,
music.
I love this, and I believe it with my heart and soul. And what I'll say to everyone as we're wrapping up today, think about that song for you. Ask your team, what song makes you feel good? What song, you know, do you start your day with? And then surprise them, take out your phone and start it when you start your next team meeting. Play a song. You know what I do sometimes? I send the YouTube link to people if I know it's their favorite song. So you got to believe Susan's going to get a YouTube of Pharrell at some point in our future, right? Because what that does is, no matter what kind of day Susan's having, she opens that email and she sees Pharrell, I know she's going to hit play. She's going to, because she knows she's going to feel better. So a practical tip for everybody listening, find out the songs that make your people happy. Know what makes you happy and then make the effort to play it. Play the song. Play the song. Yes. Amen. Susan. Okay. How can people find you? We got to make sure people know how to find you. Tell us where they go.
Yeah, you can find me on my website, pragmatic-life.com. And I'm also on Facebook and LinkedIn. Okay. Same, Pragmatic Life. And my personal page too, Susan Nelson on LinkedIn.
Yay. Yeah, and Susan has great posts, you guys. You're going to want to opt into her newsletter. She has such good stuff going on. You know, I just love spending time with you. I love that we keep it real and practical and honest. And I really hope that we're modeling that for anyone listening, how they can have this kind of relationship within the workplace too. Because Susan and I have been peers and colleagues our entire lives together. And there's nothing more special than having a safe place to talk and bring it for forward, bring up whatever's going on. So everyone, make it a great day. Go put on your favorite song, shake those hands, you know, do three deep breaths. If you have to just walk outside and look at the sunshine, know that you're part of something so much bigger. You're doing awesome. It's really hard. And there's nobody better to do it than you. So go be your best selves today. All right, everybody, take care.
That was great content, but let's be honest. If you don't get the support you need and start making changes in your life and work as a leader in tech, you can expect regret and burnout in the near future. Lisa can help you get kick-ass results at work without burning out, so you can be present for the moments that matter to you and your loved ones. Take your first step at rebootwithlisa.com.